Welcome to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Well, it's that time of year again. You know, the season of snow, of gifts, of peppermint-flavored everything. And last but not least, a time of family. But for those who are separated from their families for one reason or another, the holiday season is complicated, more bittersweet. Being separated from your family, it's an experience that many Latinos share, sometimes because of the nature of migration, and sometimes because of immigration enforcement. And so, on our show today, we're going to bring you stories about being far away from our families, how it feels, how we cope with it, and how we rise above the challenges. We'll hear how, after a long time, a father and son reunited, but it didn't turn out so good. And also about how another father found a way to help his son with his homework 2,000 miles away. But first, a conversation with actress Diane Guerrero. Now, you probably know her from hit shows like Jane the Virgin and Orange is the New Black, where she plays Maritza Ramos, the one with the amazing black eyeliner.
Hey, Bennett, what's going to happen when Caputo finds out you raped an inmate?
He's not going to find out.
You sure about that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, because you're going to the Shoe Ramos.
For what?
I'll figure it out later.
You ain't going to do that to me.
You think I'm not? Let's go.
I first met Diane at a conference on immigration in Los Angeles a couple of years ago, and that's where I learned that Diane was only 14 years old when her parents were deported, picked up in the middle of the day, and sent back to Colombia. Diane was left behind all alone. Her neighbors took her in, but the government actually never checked in on her. She was an American citizen teenager with no guardians. Talk to me about what it's like to grow up as an American citizen who lives in fear.
Well, first, it's very confusing because, you know, you're growing up and you say, well, I'm an American, yet people are making me feel like I don't belong here and like I should be afraid. I mean, anything would make me freak out. And still, like, I mean, just until a few years ago, I think I would hear an alarm and completely bug out. And even though I know I'm a citizen of this country and I know there's no way that anyone can kick me out, but it was just something psychological, I guess I'll probably with the trauma that I went through as a kid, where any alarm, any policeman that I saw, anything, I thought that they were coming to get me. And, you know, those things, they'd keep me up at night.
You were essentially at every moment looking at authority.
Right.
Any authority as something that you had to run away from.
Yes. Yeah. But I knew, and it's funny because even though my parents were afraid of, obviously, the authority, they always told me not to be afraid of authority. Like, as far as, like, if I ever needed help, that I could run to the police, that I can call the police. But, I mean, obviously not when they were around. And so, yeah, so it just created a lot of, like, feelings of confusion and am I an American or am I not American? And why do I feel American, but why do I think others don't see me that way? And so throughout my life, I feel like I've just been trying so hard to prove to others and that I'm an American. I had to act a certain way. I had to, like, ideas of what being white in America was, you know. I write in my book of how I, like, had this obsession with wanting to be a white girl because I felt like the things that I was living that a little white girl in America wouldn't have to live.
How much time do you think you spent, Diane, like, thinking about this? Am I American? Am I not American? How come I don't see, you know, all of the time spent on identity and do we belong? Can we stay?
Yeah.
I mean, and this was before Trump, but how much time do you think?
Oh my God, consume my entire freaking day, every day, every day. And then, you know, and because I'm the kind of person that I have goals, I have dreams, and I've always kept it moving. So I was always putting myself in positions where I had to interact with a very diverse crowd, you know, and also of, you know, I grew up in the hood, but I certainly wasn't going to stay there. So it was constantly in my mind how I was different, how, oh, this person isn't going to accept me. And even to like the smallest thing, like I wouldn't have to tell anybody about my story, but I just feel like I had this huge sign on my forehead that said it.
And the sign said what?
Too brown, too poor, parents deported, failure, can't speak English, can't read, can't write. I used to be, and I have to be honest, Maria, I was very troubled. I was very angry, a very angry person and very short fused. And, you know, I can go ham. Like, I mean, I just go all out angry, crazy. I mean, and I break things, you know, pull my hair, just crazy things. I mean, obviously you saw the you know, self-mutilation and things like that. But even beyond that, I was just a very angry person.
How much did any of that have to do with the fact that your parents had been deported?
That was a big factor. That was a big factor. It had to do just with my parents' situation because we weren't a settled family. You know, no había un día que I would just go home y estábamos todos tranquilos. No había tranquilidad. And because they were just constantly talking about la situación, I never felt, you know, calm. So these things just gave me so much anxiety. But yeah, of course. And then finally, when they were taken away, it was just... That just made everything that I was already sort of feeling, it made worse.
I mean, you tried to kill yourself.
Yeah.
More than once.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's not even counting the times where I intoxicated myself so much that I was just like, let's see what happens.
You mean like, oh, let me just try and cross the street and... WTF?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like just walk the street, cross the street without looking.
Ay, Dios mío.
Let's see what happens. Or like, let me just, I'm gonna drink so hard tonight that see if I like, I'm gonna go to sleep and let's see what happens.
It's like I think one of the things that's so powerful about your book and your story, Diane, is that you, and the way you're speaking about it is that you, in just telling what your life was like, the ripple effects of this one act, mm-hmm, of your parents and the separation and the state, et cetera, you just show how it just grows and grows and grows. And I think one of the things that was surprising to me was that you kind of said, yeah, and I had no clue that the reason why I was having all of these challenges, the suicide ideation, the suicidal thoughts, this mutilation, the drinking... But you didn't actually tie it to the question of the separation of the family, the deportation.
Yeah, no, I didn't.
Because you never saw it reflected, and so how could you?
Right. Yeah. Once I accepted, because I didn't want to be, everybody around me was like, or any messaging that I got in the news or anybody talking about it, the reaction that I would see from people was so negative that I was like, oh, I am a boohoo story. You know, I don't want to be another effing boohoo story.
You mean the sad Latina?
Yeah, the sad Latina. Woe is me. And I was like, I can do this, you know, or if I'm going to be upset and sad, it's because I'm messed up. It's because there's something inside of me that's making me this way. Not because of what happened. It's because this is just the way I am. You know, I have all these like, I'm trying to find the word, like almost self-hate because of who I am, not just Diane Guerrero, but because I'm Latina, because I'm Colombian, because of so many things, because I'm an American too. So like that, even feeling that like, oh, I'm not Latina enough. Aside from all that, oh, I don't feel good enough, whatever, all that. I think what trumped that was the feelings that I felt like my family was feeling. Anything that I was feeling was nothing compared to their hurt, their pain. So whenever that their faces came to my mind, I couldn't handle it. Mm. I couldn't handle it. I couldn't handle knowing that my parents were struggling. I couldn't handle that. So I separated myself from them so much that I would try to forget them and try to pretend that they didn't exist. And so every time they would creep up in my mind, because as they do, they are family, I would lose it.
You'd be really angry at them now, right?
I would be angry at them, angry at myself for being a bad daughter. So there was that. And angry at them because I felt like they had left me, you know? And just angry at, like, the world and angry at life and feeling like that's it. That's it for me. And I was like, you know, right where these, you know... right-wing conservatives are, where it's just like, it was their fault. It was their own fault. And I wasn't trying to, like, listen to them and what they were saying to me as far as why they had come over in the first place, why they tried so hard. And they were trying to explain to me, like, we tried. And I was just like, no, you didn't try hard enough.
Oh, God, because, so you, like, basically were, you would attack your parents?
Oh, my God, so much. Poor things. Like even when I would go to Colombia, it was just, we would have like outrageous fights, outrageous. Like, you know, I would like make my parents cry, and so all they wanted was to love me. All they wanted was to hold me and to, you know, I mean, I don't know how many times my parents apologized to me, you know, and thinking about it now, I feel like shit because I'm like, wow, how would I let, like, my parents didn't need to apologize to me. You know, they're your parents. And I'm sorry, in like Latin culture, you know, a los padres se respetan. Pero when you lose so much respect for yourself, it's just like, you're just lost. I mean, I really was in like the twilight zone. I didn't know where I was.
How much were you talking to other people about this? Like, damn, like my whole...
I stopped. I didn't do it.
Why?
I at that time, because I just didn't want anybody to know. I didn't want anyone. I had shame.
Shame.
I had shame about it. I didn't want anyone to know that of why, what had happened to me. And I didn't want them to think that my parents were failures. I'm sitting here, I'm going, I'm trying to do something, but I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. So, you know, I have everybody around me asking me, and I like, you know, so what happens is you shut down as you feel helpless. And then, you know, then you try to like, okay, what I'm going to do now is I need some money. I need to save my life because like last night I tried to kill myself and that wasn't cool. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to start taking some acting classes. Something has to come out of this, you know? And then, of course, I go and I try to compete at these levels, you know, with other kids that don't have the similar problems that I do, that don't come from the same position as I do. And it just blows up in my face. I can't hack it. You know, for A, B, C, or D, whatever it is, because I need serious therapy, because I don't have my family to support me financially, because I have to have a job while everybody's studying. And here I am, and I'm, you know, everybody's telling me, you're so strong. And I'm like, oh, you're this, you're that. I'm like, I'm nothing. I am here competing with these people. They are something. I am nothing. I have nothing. So when you think you have nothing, then, you know, what are you going to produce?
But at the same time, Diane, like, there was something, and I want to know what that is, that was telling you, yeah, well, I don't care. You're going to the audition.
I think it just got to the point where I was in so much pain that I just had to try it because I just, like, I had nothing else.
Now that you've talked about all of this and you're processing it, how do you think that all of this has actually affected you as an artist, as an actor? Are you making connections there?
Yeah, I'm a lot more honest with my work. I'm a lot less afraid. My God, you know, if you're holding all this stuff inside, it's a block. And here I thought, oh, you know what? I've lived life. this acting thing's going to be a breeze. No, no, hunty. If you're not dealing with your issues, then you're not going to work well.
And you talk very publicly about doing therapy, mm-hmm. which I do as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we think, as a community, we think, I know, eso no es para mí. I know, that's only something for privileged people. No.
O es para locos.
O para locos. Privilege, or you have to be rich or crazy.
To go see a therapist.
To go see a therapist. And that's simply not true. I think that that's where we start, you know, because we have to be okay here to understand, so we can take in everything that's happening in the world. But also what I've learned too is, like, this whole side of me is to be politically active. That has been like, what?
Because I remember, okay, full disclosure, yeah. The first time I met you and you were up on stage, I felt like I was witnessing something in you at that moment of like, oh my God, what's going on? There's this whole other thing that's activism, that's uh-huh. community, that's owning our stories. How did that happen now? Like from like to full-blown one activist? How did that happen?
I think you're right. I think that day when I went to the panel, that was the first time that I had done anything like that. I mean, you know, I got up there, I had a mic, and I was like, check, check, 1, 2, what's up? I was like, anyone in the audience? But it was just, I said stuff, and I saw people's eyes, and they were like, uh-huh, uh-huh. So here I am, and I'm like, oh, shoot, okay, I have a voice. And I want others to find that, too, because I think that is one of the keys to getting out of that hole. I think, like, when I met some of the people last night at the book signing, and some kids came up to me and they were living some of the same things, you know, telling me they didn't belong. Whichever way, that to me was like, wow, that's how I feel too. I feel that way too.
You've talked a lot about community and kind of, you know, as you've come out as an activist finding community, Orange is the New Black and Jane the Virgin. On both of those shows, you are not like the only Latina.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, like, there's just one.
Yeah. To work alongside with someone who's kind of been through what you've been through, and meaning like in the business, or feeling like, oh no, they're not going to cast me because I'm brown, or, oh God, here we go. They're going to tell me to do an accent here for this character. And I'm like, I came prepared with a regular, because there are, hello, I am very American and I don't speak with an accent. And this character doesn't seem like it requires one, but because sometimes, you know, of the color of your skin or how you look, it's like, oh no, for people to believe you, you need to have an accent. Americans come in all different shapes and sizes. Americans come in all different colors, and we have different cultures. We just sit there in awe because—
What a blessing.
It's a blessing, it really is.
As an actor.
Absolutely, yeah. Because not everyone experienced that, you know? We've come a long way.
You're gonna be doing a lot of giving the shout outs and giving the love, because people are looking to you for that, right? They see themselves in you. What do you wanna say to them?
You have the power to decide where your life is going. And even though maybe your parents aren't documented, or maybe you're not documented, it gets better. Don't be afraid to dream big, because I literally came from nothing, and I'm not saying I'm the best or anything, or that I've reached, you know, my point, but I did write a book, and I am on 2 really great shows, and I never thought that possible. I really didn't. And I have a lot of issues. When you read my book, you'll see that I have a lot of issues. I had a lot of roadblocks, but I stayed persistent. I stayed resilient, and I was resourceful. So you can do it too. Despite anything. And in muy tarde, it's not too late. If you made mistakes, whatever, you can turn it around. You can turn everything around. It's not too late.
Thank you for owning your voice, Diane.
Thank you.
Diane Guerrero is an activist and an actress. You can see her in Orange is the New Black and on Jane the Virgin.